In the episode just before this one, we talked about how motherhood can make you rethink everything you thought you knew, and how painful it can be to realize that everything is changing in ways that you never expected. Today, we'll hear from a labor and delivery nurse and a birth educator who shares what she wished she knew before she became a mom. Welcome to Mom's Guide to Finding Herself, where we share stories of side hustles and surviving while parenting young children. I'm your host, Chrissy Bold. Let's make motherhood less lonely and help you find joy in being you again. Have you ever felt like you were drowning in unsolicited advice and like sugar-coated solutions, especially when it comes to being a mom? You might be up in the middle of the night desperately Googling answers, and all you find are these perfect scenarios that don't match your reality. It's like everyone else has it figured out, and you're left wondering, am I the only one who feels like this is harder than it should be? Maybe you always wanted to be a mom. Maybe you were even born to be a mom. And still, when your baby arrives, it can hit you like a ton of bricks. You might even wonder, have I been wrong this whole time? Am I not cut out for this? I remember when my first baby was a few days old, and I was thinking to myself, this is really easy. Like, I was feeling so confident. My husband and I were even high-fiving each other about how easy it was going. But then it was like we were like pushed into this completely different reality. It was like the people that we had been were like totally gone. Everything just totally changed. And you start to question everything. Like, am I feeding them right? Am I feeding them enough? Why aren't they sleeping? Am I doing this all wrong? It can be incredibly isolating. And the anxiety that comes with it is intense. And it can be honestly debilitating. Or maybe you just got out of the newborn phase and you're in the trenches with a toddler. It's like every time you feel like you have parenting down, another phase rolls in and hits you with a curveball. You are exhausted and you're wondering, how in the world do people do this multiple times? Or is there a secret to this? Like, will I ever feel like I know what I'm doing? These feelings are so common and we rarely talk about them openly. And we definitely don't talk about how much our kids can change from one day to the next. Just like you, Heather, our guest today, who is a mom of three and a labor and delivery nurse with over a decade of experience, has experienced these intense feelings. Like so many other moms, she thought she was made for this, but then found it to be so much harder than she expected. Heather is the host of the Labor Room podcast and creator of several birth and postpartum baby care courses. Through her courses, her podcast, and her Instagram page, she is committed to helping mothers navigate their birth experiences with confidence and empowering mothers throughout their journey. Heather started out by creating a blog to share her experiences and give a more realistic view of motherhood. And today, she shares our journey with us. I can't wait for you to hear it. Thank you so much for joining us. I am here today with Heather. Heather is a mom of three, ages 2, 5, and 8, and she's also a labor and delivery nurse. Thank you so much for being here today with us, Heather.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Oh, I've been following you throughout my pregnancy journeys, all those things. So I feel like I know bits and pieces of you. But as we know, you don't know somebody until you actually sit down and talk with them. So I'm really excited to meet and share with our listeners the woman behind the camera, the woman behind the account, and get to know that more.
Oh, that's so sweet. Isn't that true, though? I feel that way a lot. Being like a podcaster, too, I feel like when I sit down with somebody, you don't realize what you don't know about them until they start chatting about their story and you realize how incredible people's stories can be. So I'm really happy to be here and to share my maybe not so incredible, but pretty relatable story, I think.
I think us moms are all incredible and we all have an incredible story for sure. And I'm sure yours is no different. So tell us, who were you before becoming a mom?
Yeah, wow. Like that's such a deep question. And honestly, even if I sat here and thought about it and, you know, really pondered over it, I don't know that I would have a very good answer because I feel so deep in my identity as a mother that I think, like many moms, I've kind of forgotten, like, was there a time when I wasn't like completely consumed by motherhood? And obviously there was, but I've always wanted to be a mom. I've always pictured myself as a mom. So like growing up and getting married, it wasn't just grow up and get married. It was like, I can't wait to become a mom. So before I was a mom, I was an aspiring mom. No, but honestly, I was also a wife. I married my high school sweetheart after 8 years of dating when I was 24 years old. I was a labor and delivery nurse before I became a mother. And so that was a lifelong dream of mine. I knew I wanted to be a nurse. Like, I think before high school, even, I just always knew somehow. I think it was my grandma who kind of like planted that in my brain, and then I kept it forever. And I was, you know, a friend. I had fun. I loved adventure.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I love hearing the stories, because I didn't always want to be a mom. I didn't want to be a mom beforehand. So to hear the stories of people who were like, this is my goal, is so cool, because you're going to be a good mom no matter what, wherever your path was. And to hear your journey to being a nurse from your grandma is just so sweet, that you just had these two aspirations and now here you are, you're living this dream.
I know. It's so funny when you think about that, right? When I sit down and like look around and I realize there are three little people behind those closed doors and I am a mother, and I, you know, like that sometimes hits me like, wow, all of these dreams really have come true. And I mean, it takes a lot of work, but it's so worth it. But yeah, I definitely always wanted to be a mom, even as like a really small person, like maybe 5 years old. You know, people would always tell me like, oh, you're just a little mother, because I loved to hang out with the younger kids, like anyone younger than me. I had two younger brothers and I would just baby them and put them in my baby doll stroller and stroll them around because they were my babies. And I would play house with them and they were my babies. I was their mom. And so I feel like it's always been in my blood to just want to be a mom. And I think that's one of the things that was really jarring for me when I first had my first baby, was that like, I thought I was made for this. I thought like, if I can't do it, no one can, because I wanted it so badly and I planned for it and I thought I was prepared for it. And it's just this dream of mine forever and ever. And then it hits and it's harder than I ever thought possible. And I thought like, oh my gosh, have I been wrong this whole time? Am I not cut out for this? Like, you know, wanting to be a mom my whole life and then it being so hard for me was something that like, I had to get past, if you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was heavy.
Definitely. So tell me more about that. What was your transition into motherhood like? What was so difficult for you?
Well, I mean, I think the same things that everyone kind of experiences. I just didn't realize how hard it was going to be. Maybe I was just like young and naive, but I wasn't that young. I mean, I was 26, okay. But I was a labor nurse. And so I saw people, you know, have babies and become mothers every day. And to me, it was so beautiful and so magical. And I just loved everything about it. And I felt like, okay, like I can see all these other women doing it. And so it's preparing me, right? Like if I can watch them do it, I can see them like be thrust into the postpartum experience and thrust into breastfeeding without knowing what they're doing. And I can actually physically help them do that. And I can help them breastfeed for the first time. I can help them latch their baby for the first time. Well, certainly I can help myself. And certainly I can encourage myself and say all the things I say to them, to myself, and it'll work and I'll be fine. And that was the case for labor and delivery. I feel like as a labor nurse, I really did prepare myself pretty well. I didn't fear birth. I didn't fear labor. I felt like I knew kind of what to expect. And I feel like I, you know, was able to wrap my mind around that. But on the other side of the coin, I think that my experience with postpartum mothers actually gave me a more unrealistic expectation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, of what postpartum was going to be like, because I saw them with all of the help in the world. I saw them with nurses surrounding them. I saw them while I'm physically putting my hands on them and helping them latch their baby. And also the postpartum fog, right? Like right when you have your baby, you're kind of just in this dreamland of like, whoa, what just happened? You're not really like thrust into the reality of being a mom while you're still in the hospital. And so I'm watching these people, quote unquote, adjust to having a baby. And to me, they're rocking it. And to me, I'm just like, this, you've got this, girl, like, go you, right? And then I, in my mind, they go home and I've helped them. And they, you know, they're on their own now and they're doing great. And so that's kind of how like I pictured postpartum for me. Yeah. And there was that fog in the hospital. I had all the help in the world. And then I went home and like, it hit me like a ton of bricks that, you know, my baby didn't sleep. Right. My baby threw up everywhere, every feeding, and having to make decisions and having to do this all on my own, it just was so much harder than I ever thought possible.
Right. And to remember, too, that your baby doesn't wake up for the first couple of days, truly. Mm-hmm. They're still in the womb in a way. They
right.
haven't fully realized where they are. So right. you're not in the hospital getting that full newborn experience.
Yeah. I actually think they do say like the first couple of days. For me, my own experience, it was like a week of
baby bliss.
Of baby bliss where I'm just like, this is easy. Like, what are people talking about? What's so hard about this? You know, like, and I remember going to my first my first like newborn visit sure. at the pediatrician. And, you know, they give you the like questionnaire, right? And like, how are you feeling? You know, they want to make sure that you're mentally okay. And I'm like, yeah, like I'm good. I don't know. This right. is so easy. Right. And then they wake up.
Right. I remember my husband and I one night, must have been like the third or fourth night because of it. We literally high-fived each other when we were going to sleep. Like, we got this.
Right.
And then the next day, it was like we are thrust into something completely different. Like, those people are dead. We don't know what happened.
Yes. That is how it was, especially for my second, actually, because my first was hard. He had really terrible infant acid reflux, and the reflux made me constantly breastfeed him, and then it made me never sleep. And it was just the hardest thing in the world. And we can talk about that later. But basically, he was the hardest baby I could have ever imagined. And then my second baby came, and I didn't really remember that newborn bliss with my first. And so when I was in it with my second, I was like, dude, we got blessed. Like, this baby is so easy. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that he doesn't have reflux and that this is just the easiest thing in the world. And then day eight, we always talk about day eight with my Elliot, my middle child. He's five now. I'm like, you have been this way since you were 8 days old.
Like, <he's>, he just hasn't changed.
Right. He's a firecracker, and he has been since then, I guess. Yeah.
That second child is wild, huh? They see that first one and they're like, okay, this is how we live. This is what we do from the get-go.
Yep. Completely. And my first and my second are polar opposites of each other. They're not the same in any way. They are best friends and they get along really well, but they are not similar. He does his own thing. My oldest child can be like, oh, that's not how we, you know, do it. And, you know, we're breaking the rules. And Elliot will be like, it's fine. We do what we want. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry for my child screaming his head off in the back. The transition from different kids is so tough. And I know for you, just from our conversations ahead of time, that having that second child, like you're a big family, the family of your dreams might have come across as not such a great idea anymore after your first one.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So like I kind of mentioned, with my first, he had, you know, diagnosed infant acid reflux. He spit up, or I hated saying spit up back then. I thought it was just way too mild of a term, but he was throwing up just at what looked like visually an entire bottle worth of milk at every feeding. And I was breastfeeding. And he was my first baby. And being a labor and delivery nurse and working in the postpartum unit sometimes, I was so motivated to breastfeed this baby. And everyone was telling me, not everyone, but you know, I was getting the advice that like I should put him on hypoallergenic formula. I should, you know, it's my milk that's doing it to him. It's my fault. And, you know, maybe you have too much milk. Maybe you're overfeeding him. Maybe I got every piece of advice under the sun, but no matter what I did, he still threw up at every feeding. Mm-hmm. And so just that in itself, just that fact alone would have put me into postpartum anxiety. Yeah. But then on top of it, like I really truly didn't know when to feed that child because I would breastfeed him, he would throw up, and then I would have to fight the thought of like, okay, did he throw up everything? Is he still hungry? Should I feed him again? Or am I overfeeding him? He threw up because I fed him too much and I should just give him time. And there was no right answer. There was no way of me knowing. There's no handbook. There's nothing to Google. Like it was just, I had to know. I had to figure it out. There was no answer to be found. And so that was giving me anxiety. And then overnight he would throw up in his crib. So I had so much anxiety that he was going to choke in his sleep. I thought he's going to throw up. I'm going to be asleep. I'm not going to know he needs help. And, you know, something terrible is going to happen. And so that's part of postpartum anxiety to begin with, is this like irrational fears and anxieties that something terrible is going to happen to your baby. And it was debilitating. And I wouldn't sleep. And so I would stay up at night staring at my baby next to me, like just making sure he was breathing all night. And I quite literally, without an exaggeration, some nights would sleep for 30 minutes. Like I was not sleeping. So I was falling apart. And I thought, I can never do this again. Like this is way too hard for me. And you know, I'm not cut out for this. I'm anxious. I'm miserable. I'm failing my baby. He's miserable. He's, you know, crying all the time. He's colicky because of the reflux. He's, you know, starving or not sleeping. And I thought, I'm never going to do this again. And which was devastating to me because, like I mentioned, my whole life I wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And my whole life I wanted like a bunch of kids. Like I come from a family with four children. And I kind of visualized myself with the same. And then I was like put into this reality where I'm like, maybe I just won't have any more. Like this, once I get through this, I'm not going to want to do it again. Yeah. I ended up Googling constantly, right? Like when you're up at night in the middle of the night breastfeeding or rocking your baby to sleep or whatever. I was always Googling. I was always in all of the like mom groups on Facebook or wherever looking for advice. And sometimes I would just feel like everything was so sugar-coated. Sometimes if I looked up, you know, infant acid reflux blog posts, it was always this like perfect solution. Like, oh, all I did was I would, you know, give them these drops and it worked. Or all I did was keep them upright and burp them for 30 minutes after and it worked. And I'm like, your baby did not have infant acid reflux. I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry. If this one thing worked, your baby did not have what my baby has. And it frustrated me so much that I started my own blog because I'm like, people need real answers. Like people need real advice that's not just sugarcoating, like, look, I found the answer. And so I decided to start a blog just so that I could help one mom out there. Like if I can help one person not feel so alone and not feel like they're the only one that doesn't know what they're doing, then I'm happy. And so I did. And my very first blog post that I ever wrote was about infant acid reflux and all of the things we tried, because that's where my trauma was. Right. Like, like that's where I held all of my trauma, all of my anxiety came from that. And I wrote it, I published it, and then I realized like, oh my gosh, people are reading it. Yeah. People are commenting on it. People are reaching out to me and I'm like, I can actually help somebody. And I think that was really therapeutic for me. And so, of course, obviously, you already know the end result. I did recover and I did go on to have more babies. But in the moment, it was the hardest thing.
I can imagine. I know from my experience, too, it was very like just this feels so much harder than it should. I knew it was hard, but it never seemed like it would be this hard. And we said the same thing. How do people do this multiple times? And how do people keep doing this? And for us, we decided if we're going to do it, we have to do it now. Like, let's just do this back to back or else we're going to decide that it's not for us. How did you get to the decision that let's go for it, let's try again?
Honestly, we realized, I don't know, my baby was probably about 10 months old when my husband and I realized like everything really is a phase. Like all of the things that were hard, we got through it. And now there's new hard things about a 10 month old or whatever. But we realized like the things that are hard, we can get through for the ultimate end result of something so much bigger and so much more beautiful than what we could have ever imagined. Like, just because it was harder than I thought doesn't mean it wasn't even more beautiful than I ever thought as well. And so we pretty easily decided to move on and have another baby. I mean, not that early. My kids are 2.5 years apart, but we pretty easily got over that when we realized everything truly is a phase. And that's a good thing and also a heartbreaking thing, because everything, including all of the hard, but all of the beautiful and good and sweet and adorable things that they do are also a phase, and they pass. And I'm like, I can't just do it once. I had to do it again.
Yep. I hear you totally. And I think that's a really common age to realize those things, 9, 10, 11, 12 months. That's when you see a lot of people starting a project or doing something different or getting pregnant again, like me. Like, just that's when things start to mellow out and you're like, okay, that passed, and now they have a personality and now we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm glad to hear that you got there too and that your baby was on that timeline as well. How was your transition then from 1 to 2? You said that your second one was pretty mild when he was born. How was it for your older son?
My older son, he, you know, believe it or not, he was a very hard newborn, but he was a very chill person. Like, and he still is to this day. His personality type is so chill, so laid back, so relaxed. And so he had never had a tantrum in his life until his baby brother came home, and that's when he kind of hit his like terrible twos, which was more like 2.5 years old. He started to, you know, show some resistance to change. But I would still say that my transition from one baby to two babies was easier than my transition from zero babies to one baby.
Yes, for me, one was just completely earth-shattering. And then two was like, okay, there's just another person to deal with. And and it had its own challenges, of course, but different. It was
different.
Much more manageable. And what about for 2 to 3 for you?
I think that was my easiest. Yeah. So I don't know if this is true, but like my brain tells me I think the transition itself just gets easier with each baby. Not that like having more babies overall is easier, but the transition from 2 to 3 was easier. And then so many people tell me that like the transition from 3 to 4 is super easy because you're already doing all the same things, you know, like nothing really changes other than there's another person. So I definitely experienced that in my experience. Yeah,
and I think that your expectations just get lower and lower as you go on, too. It's like, you know, we're just going to roll with it and everybody's going to be fine is part of it. But that's definitely also not everyone's experience. One of my other guests, she said the going from 2 to 3 was basically going from 2 to 13 for her. So I'm glad to hear for you that this, for anybody who is expecting their third child and listened to that first episode and might be a little scared, that's not everybody's experience either. So.
Right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, everyone's different. Everyone's circumstances are different. And even just within your own life, your circumstances change. And so it just depends on so many things. But I mean, I will admit that my third child, my daughter, so I had two boys and then I had a girl, she was my easiest baby. So wow. That might be contributing, right? Sure. But I think that it also matters that like our expectations are so much more realistic. Right. Like, not that I'm just like, oh, whatever. Like, of course I still care, but I just, it's so much more realistic. I remember my first, I didn't know anything. So period, point blank, I knew nothing. I was just like hit, like I said, like brick wall. Whoa, I have to learn everything. And then when my second came, I thought I knew everything. And so I wanted everything done exactly this way. I wanted to bedtime to be at exactly this time. I wanted to do it exactly this routine. And I wanted it to be so overly structured because of what I had already learned with my first baby. And that wasn't right either. So then I had my third and I realized, wow, there really needs to be just a balance. Like, you need to know the tips and tricks. You need to know, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, but the rigidity of this, like, everything has to be perfect, it needs to go out the window. So that's why I think my third baby was so much easier, because I had that balance and I knew how to kind of weigh and determine what was important and what I could let go.
And what's her personality like? So your first one was wild to begin with and then mild. And then the opposite. So how did your pattern keep going?
Yes. Okay. So my first was crazy newborn, really easy personality type after. And then my second was the polar opposite. So super easy in the beginning. And then the most wild, crazy firecracker. He still is. He's 5 years old. Crazy personality type. And then my third was very mild as a newborn. She was the easiest baby her whole first year. Just chill as a cucumber. And now she's 2.5. And so she has attitude and sass, but I would say that she's still like very go with the flow. She's okay with anything. Yeah.
We love that. You can see by now, I think, like the 2.5, like that's not necessarily who they're going to be forever. And you can like see the undertones of of their personality. So we love a go with the flow kid. That's a pretty good way to go about life. Yes. I love to ask all of my guests what their favorite go-to activity is to use with their kids when they're just like, they need something, they need to make a phone call, you need to do the dishes, something like that. What is the thing that you throw at them when you have nothing else left?
Girl, bath time. Bath time, period. I mean, easiest thing in the whole world. I have learned since my first baby, like put them in the water or put them outside and they will be happy. And if I can't do outside, bath time works with every single one of my kids. And so you've learned that they're all different. They're all opposite of each other, but the bath will solve all problems.
That's awesome. Yes, I've recently started doing painting in the bath.
Yeah.
And that is like a game changer for me.
Yeah. I think that's the key, really, is that they can make a mess and it's not a big deal. And I think that's the best part.
I love it. That is such a great tip. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at A Life in Labor, and you can find my website at alifeinlabor.com. But for your listeners, you can actually go to alifeinlabor.com/boldlittleminds, and you'll find that you can get 30% off any of my courses that I talked about here today, the birth course, postpartum, breastfeeding, or newborn care. All you have to do is use the code Bold Little Minds and you'll get 30% off any of my courses.
Thank you so much, Heather. Please go check out Heather's page and follow her so you can share her story. You share a lot on your Instagram, not just of labor and delivery, but a lot about your real parenting life. And it is worth following because it's all so real and so relatable. So
thank
please
you.
Do that.
Thank you so much.
I would love to hear how this episode has helped you. Scroll down to the comments and leave me a note there. This will make a big impact in helping moms like us find the show. Make sure you click that thumbs up and make sure to follow so that way you can continue to join me on this journey of finding ourselves. In the next episode, Heather will share with us the things that you can do when you're preparing for a new baby, even if it's your second or third or even your fourth baby, or how you can gently help your friends and family members prepare for their birth and beyond. Until then, take a moment for yourself and remember you are an amazing mom just as you are.